God bless you, and welcome again to Meditation Moments. And we remind you again that we're praying for you, and this little program, so brief, oh, how we do pray about it, that it will be a blessing to your heart and meet your needs, and you pray for us and pray for those that write in for help. We say again the old-time greeting, God bless you and make you a blessing. This precious old hymn came to my mind so many times recently when I was with my dear husband in his declining time at the hospital. And I would visit the hospital every day when he was ill. And I'd watch those dear lives there in the different beds and, oh, the suffering, the human suffering. And then I would look out through the windows of the tall hospital, out to the highway where cars were rushing back and forth. And I would think about poor lost humanity. But it was especially those that I met in the hospital and down in the waiting room. Oh, so many that are sorrowing. So many with broken hearts. And I thought how much they need the Father's mercy. And how he needs, the Lord needs us as lower lights to keep burning. That precious old song would come, and I would sing sometimes above his bed. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor tempest-tossed is trying now to make the harbor, and in the darkness may be lost. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Oh, that wonderful old song coming to my heart made me long so sometimes that people would catch a vision of service for others. And I think of this verse of Scripture, this wonderful passage in Mark, the 25th chapter. God's word says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And I saw some of those dear ones, especially the very aged, lie there day after day, and went into weeks after a while. For a month I visited the hospital. No one ever came to see them. You know, God has entrusted us with some sacred responsibilities, certain things which have to have the first attention in life. Lots of things are demanding our attention. So many things are happening on the stage of life today. All the calls are just multitudinous, and there's so little time for them in the mighty rush of time. And we have to face the issue that what is the greatest outstanding purpose of life? Of course, God's word tells us, first of all, it's to work out our own salvation. But after that, it is the salvation of those around us, the furtherance of God's kingdom. These are the sacred trusts, and they have to be put in their rightful place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, how trite that gets to us. We hear it so many times. The first for every Christian, then, are eternal things, not temporal. But so often God is set aside and the merest trifles are attended to before those two outstanding purposes in life, your own salvation, the care of the souls about you, before they are attended to. And I'd look in some of those poor drawn faces, and their children never cared enough to come. And then I'd see them draw the curtain about a life, and after a while they That bed was empty, but nobody had come. It was all too much for the chaplain, Dr. Fry, whom I got to know quite well. But you know, these great realities of life, the eternal purpose, they're set in a second place, just put in a, really a secondary place. As someone has so aptly put it, there's a misplaced attention, a false priority. And the emphasis in life is put in the wrong place. Maybe I told you the story long ago about the old lady in Valparaiso, Indiana. That H.B. Brown, the president of Valparaiso, Indiana, sent her on a trip from Valparaiso to Chicago. She had always wanted to take that trip. And afterwards, the conductor told that she fussed with her handbag and her little satchel all the way into Chicago, trying to arrange things, and a little pillow she'd brought along for her back, and just fooling around. She never looked out at the scenery, and she talked about wanting to see what it looked like on the road between Valparaiso, Indiana, and Chicago. And H.B. Brown had tried to meet the desire of her heart, but she didn't deal with the main purpose of her trip at all. She forgot all about what it was all for and just fooled with those little inconsequential things. There was a misplaced attention, a false priority. The emphasis was in the wrong place. You know, if you do not think temporal things have had the priority, maybe in your life, my life, quietly, sincerely, we ought to go over the past month, the past week, and meditate on how much of the temporal rather than eternal has occupied our time and thought. We sing we're pilgrims, strangers to this world, but I tell you, dearly beloved, we don't act like it a great deal. The sense of values, I've so often said, no man is a great man, no woman a great woman, unless they have a sense of values. You know, if we keep from doing the better thing because we're so occupied with things that are so secondary, then God's going to have to judge it. And that's what this scripture's about. He said, I was sick and ye visited me not. Oh, I just wish you could read some of the letters that come in of sick souls and heart sick young people even. You know, there's such great possibilities in your life. There's such promise in your life. And you have all the resources of heaven at your command. What a blessing you could be in that neighborhood. What a joy you could be in your church. What an uplift you could be to your pastor. You know, we're going to have to give an account of what we might have been, because God's going to judge us by what we might have been. He's going to judge us by the life that we might have lived. God's going to ask someday, what kept you from doing these things? What kept you from these things which should have been put first? Oh, the world's so full of opportunity, and eternal things are calling so loudly today. The need is so very desperate. Oh, how true those words, the dark, the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore, and we are the lights along the shore. Christians are the lower lights, the upper lights up there, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we are the lower lights. Nobody else is going to tell them if we don't. And no one else is going to call on the sick and those that are in prison and those that need clothing. A man came to our door the other day. He was brought there by someone that picked him up on the highway and brought him to us to talk to him. And do you know, he was 60 years old, and no one had ever presented him with a plan of salvation. No one had ever talked to him about Jesus. Oh, if we fail in the supreme task of life, and we make utter shipwreck of the great purpose of life, which is our salvation and then the salvation of others, and we come to the end of the road and offer God trifles instead of the great immortal purpose of life, what is our judgment going to be? You know what makes this so pertinent, what makes it so vital, is that we have at our command the remedy for all the world's ills. That's the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how he can transform lives. Christ can come in and crowds out all that sin and self and all. And what he can do for lives, we see it so much. And I think of people like Sam Jones, and I think about Tony Fontaine. We heard him give his life story the other night and how he had been so cruel to his mother and so indifferent to God and didn't want to hear anything about the gospel. And then God so wonderfully transformed that life, and he's such a blessing today. And Star Daily, I read not long ago his book, Love Opened Prison Doors, and how he had been an addict to some kind of a narcotic and a drunkard. And the Salvation Army last, they brought the plan of salvation to him. And the transforming power of Christ to open prison doors. We pray, Father God, cleanse me, O God, from selfishness. Cleanse me of accepting secondary things to the great purpose of life in a world so full of opportunity. Forgive us and cleanse our hearts from this that has kept us from fulfilling our mission in life. Now your attitude may be, let the world in need be forgotten. Let someone else win the lost souls, millions starving for the light. Well, let them start. It isn't my business. Little children in cruelty and darkness, let come mighty issues. Let come death. Let come judgment. I'm occupied with things of self and things that please me to do. God, help us and forgive us and cleanse us from all this. God bless you. We're praying for you, and he's still on the throne. Prayer will change things for you.